It is good to be together again this day, a day the Lord God has made for us to rejoice and be glad in. Take a long look around outside today and tonight. Just a few moments, if that is all you have, walking from point A to point B. Sort of take in the creation, even down there in the city. Look for it. Be reminded of the words of that great song. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. Maltby D. Babcock. What a name, Maltby. Wrote it, and I sing it often. My Father's world, and God is the Father to which Babcock refers. God is the Creator, and he still creates. Every morning and every evening is different than the one before. And today and tonight, we bow before our Creator, and we thank him for reigning and ruling that which is his, and we who are also his. Do you want to live in a joyful relationship with this living God? If so, then you must repent of sin. I could tell you much from personal experience that without repentance in my own life, my sin will keep me from enjoying intimate fellowship with God. Our sin separates us from him, and repentance is God's method for loosening the cords of sin that bind us and keep us trapped, prisoners in the dungeon of evil, and segregated from God. And so we press on today to discover what God means when he sends John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, and then immediately Jesus Christ to say, here was their message, repent. What does God mean by repent? Well, we have discovered quite a bit already, and this week we're into the New Testament, and I have introduced you to the Greek word for repent. This word means to change one's mind, to change one's mind. So now we're dealing with the intellectual element of repentance. As I have also been reminding you, to repent means that we repent with our whole being, our emotions, our minds, and our wills. In the Old Testament, we dealt with the emotional element and now the mental element. But as we ended last time, I said that lest you think that when I speak about the mind and the intellect, I mean only that repentance is an intellectual exercise. That is not what I mean. Do not misunderstand me. To repent means we not only change our minds, but we change how we act. We change what we do. Our lifestyle is dramatically impacted by our repentance. So let's pick up here and look at this a little today in the scripture, okay? Turn with me, if you can, to the Gospel according to Luke. We like Luke. We've been with him recently in chapter 2. And now today we will join the physician and author in Luke chapter 3. And interestingly, Luke brings us face to face with John the Baptist, the same man we've met in Matthew chapter 3. So you might wonder, hey Mark, why confuse us by bringing Luke into this? Just use Matthew's account of John the Baptist. Good point. But Luke tells us some things that the Baptist said that Matthew left out of his gospel. So as always, we cross-reference together. We flip around in the pages of our Bibles to understand the full counsel of the Word of God. Is your Bible like mine? Are the corners of the pages soft and kind of yellow and limp, bent over from all the turning through the years? Someone will say, well, not me. I read the Bible from my phone, from my tablet. Do not get me started on the advantages of reading God's word the best possible way, the printed, hold it, heavy in your hand, coffee stained, put your carry-on luggage over the limit, bound book way. I'm not kidding. Now, I am for technology, but I still believe the Bible is a book that we ought to carry around with us, write in, mark up, and cherish as our number one possession. Really, I do. But I digress. And look, I know I'm in the minority today, but what else is new? Well, I invite you to get flipping again, however you do that. Should I say scrolling? Do that now at Luke chapter 3, and I'll begin at verse 8a. I'm going to read Luke chapter 3, verses 8a through 14. Therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And the crowds were questioning John the Baptist, saying, "Then what shall we do?" And John the Baptist would answer and say to them, "The man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and he who has food is to do likewise." And some tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And John the Baptist said to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." Some soldiers were questioning him, saying, "And what about us? What shall we do?" And John the Baptist said to them, "Do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages." That was Luke chapter 3, verses 8a, and then the verses 10 through 14. And the reason I have read this should be obvious. True repentance leads to a changed life. It does not impress God if you run around talking about how you have repented of sin when your lifestyle has not demonstrated a radical change of direction. The Lord God is not well pleased with anyone who shows up for church on Sunday in a repentant mood, but then spends the rest of the day and week living just like the people who are not Christians do. Repentance is never a once-a-week phenomenon. Repentance invades your whole being. Repentance is ongoing, constant, because sin is ongoing and constant. It is not merely an intellectual exercise. Never. If you repent, then your repentance meets the real world and rocks it hard. This is what John the Baptist tells each of the groups that approach him. Notice his message in verse 8a, "Therefore bear fruits in keeping with repentance." John the Baptist says the same thing back in our text, Matthew 3:8. Here's a little interesting Bible fact, and see, you can write this in the margin of your Bible. All right, you can use your finger and hit that writing tool in your Bible app and note this. Matthew 3:8 and Luke 3:8 say the exact same thing. Matthew and Luke both quote John the Baptist accurately. And let's just follow along now in the Luke 3 text. The baptizer says, "Bear fruits in keeping with repentance." And first the crowd asks how to bear this fruit, and the Baptist tells them to share. This John would have been a good parent. "Hey, you two, share. Share your tunic, clothes, and share your food." Repentance means start sharing what you have with those in need. See, this is very practical. How about you? Do you have more than you need? Then repent of the sin of selfish hoarding and empty out your clothes closet and your kitchen pantry. Give, share. Go ahead and be very generous. And the second group John the Baptist meets are the tax collectors, and they want to know what they should do to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And John the Baptist tells them to only collect the tax that is required, nothing more. You see, the tax collectors were notorious for taking a little something for themselves. They taxed their fellow Jews on behalf of the Romans. That made the tax collector despised by the Jews, but in addition to that, they were ripping the Jewish people off. Well, the Baptist says, if you are truly repentant, stop doing that. Take only what Rome has ordered you to take. Again, this is very practical. And then this third group comes along and asks the Baptist what they should do. These are the soldiers. And again, this man John gets very down to earth. Do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. This is probably not what the soldiers of Herod Antipas wanted to hear, but the point is that John the Baptist makes three times. This is repentance. It's not just mental assent, it's not just intellectual agreement, but rather godly repentance manifests itself in a changed life. Are you getting this? How do you know if you've seen genuine repentance from sin in another person's life? That's easy. Their lifestyle reflects it. How they live is far more godly than before. How do you know if you are experiencing genuine repentance? Your lifestyle is far more godly than it was before. You look back over your life pre-repentance and you do not even feel like the same man or the same woman. Look what the Spirit of God has done in your life as you yield to Him, as you obey Jesus' word to you, repent. So yes, yesterday and today, at the start of the week, we're talking about how repentance influences the mind. To repent is to change one's mind, but I really pray you understand this always results in changing your everyday life. When we repent, our families will notice, our colleagues will notice, and our enemies will notice. In fact, nothing transforms us into positive witnesses for the Lord Jesus like being repentant from sin. Nothing, because it is so obvious. Have you personally repented of your sin? If not, then I want to encourage you to do so now. If you are a follower of Christ, then you'll do this by getting alone before God in prayer and expressing out of the depths of your mind and heart the sorrow you feel for your sin. And you will ask Him to forgive you of your sin through Jesus. Give this prayer time. Do not rush it. This is no emergency, speedy prayer. This is a guarded time with God, flat out before Him, recounting your sin and seeking His mercy to remove it from you. And then your evening changes. Whatever sin you have designed in your mind with your intellect to do is resisted. As you resist the devil, he will flee from you. If you are not yet a follower of Jesus, then your repentance starts with a prayer that asks God to give you Jesus. You yield your will to God's will. You exercise faith, even just that little faith you now have that God is real, and you pray out of your heart sincerely, God, forgive me of my sin. He will do this, you know. He really will give you Jesus. And then write to me so I can tell you much more about what it means to be Christ's man or Christ's woman. I pray you will do this by bedtime. I've got more to say about repentance tomorrow, so join me then, for God is...